Previously on Cliff and Kendall Coast to Coast.
But would you rather eat as much candy as you want to?
I already do.
But only candy.
Uh-huh.
And off the bathroom floor, no less.
Oh.
And never gain weight. Or would you rather eat only spinach for the rest of your life, but off of a plate?
Spinach off a plate or candy off the bathroom floor.
Mm-hmm.
But never gain weight?
Never gain weight.
Oh my god, get me to the bathroom floor.
Like, give me a scrubber. It's time for dinner.
Who needs a fucking scrubber? There's Twix over there on the floor.
Coming in at 9.0 on the Richter scale, but a 10.0 on the laughter scale. Here's Cliff and Kendall.
You got bills to pay and the rent is due, but you spent your money all up on food. Your car blew up into a fireball, it would be nice to escape it all. To go someplace where the laughs are free, and there are bad jokes and bad hosts and bits of humanity. Ladies and gentlemen, Cliff and Kendall and all the friends are here and ready to go. You, the listener, are here. We're ready to start the show.
Oh, Cliff, are you ready to be miserable with me?
And I was born ready and miserable.
Ladies and gentlemen, Cliff and Kendall.
Oh, I'm so excited. We're talking misery loves company.
We're talking it, Kendall. We're living it.
We live it every week.
We're living that and the dream. And a fat host life.
It's a fat host life. Cliff, so, you know, they say
that
what misery loves company means.
What does it mean? Kendall, people have been tossing around this phrase around the campfire since miserable cavemen.
Since the dawn of time.
Cliff. Yeah, remember in the 2001 movie when the monkey throws the bone up into space? That's when the first monkey signed that.
It was written on that big monolith there.
It was on the monolith. It did not a lot of room. It said Misery Hearts Company. But
yeah.
And it's like, you know, people have been talking
anyway,
ever since then.
People have been saying that that it means that when people are sad, they want others to be sad, right?
Uh-huh.
But I don't use it that way. I use it in like, misery loves company. I hope travel in groups.
Yeah.
But I don't think people that are miserable, they want other people to be miserable.
No, but no, I think that they are comforted by the misery of others.
I guess so, but when I'm sad, I want to make other people happy still.
It's like when you feel terrible and somebody calls, for instance, oh God.
When they call me that?
When they call you that. But then also, Kendall, for instance would be, like the other day, I was talking to Mr. Snodbottom, and I told him, I was like, Mr. Snodbottom, you know, I was having this terrible day, because I had the traffic was awful, I was behind this slow people, and I kept, honking at them. Like that. And I was like, I rode on. Exactly, Kendall, that is it, exactly. That's it, nail on the head. But anyway, Kendall.
Anyway.
And, you know, I was like, I just felt awful. I was in this rage mode. You know, the hard drive throwing mode occasionally we reach. And, oh God. That's why those should not be allowed. Because when you're in that mode, all you want to do. And of course you're clinically insane when you do that. But anyway, kid, I felt
going with the show anymore.
I felt
awful.
And I was so mad. I was just miserable, right?
Uh-huh.
And I was talking to Mr. Snob. I don't know where you were.
No.
And he was talking about, he was miserable too, because he and Mrs. Potter Butter Butter Churn, they had gone to a Yahtzee tournament over the weekend, and they came in 34th
How did they come in 34th? That's so good.
I know.
It was rigged.
You know, it was just an off fluke. But anyway, Ken, it's a fluke. But I was comforted, because I thought, you know what, he feels bad
for that
too.
Story to be concluded.
He feels bad too. And that made me feel a little bit better, you know? Do you know, Kendall?
Cliff, there was a test They
did.
Did
you know where you're going to? Yeah.
And during this test, there was evidence of a short-lived emotional contagion. That severely depressed people were more likely to have a roommate whose mood declined over a 6 week period than were less depressed subjects.
Oh my.
But they cheered up noticeably when they spent time away from these people. Isn't it sad? Like, because I just feel like, oh God, I hope when I'm miserable, I don't like just draw people in to be miserable.
Oh, Kendall, you never do. You don't, Kendall, not you.
I don't know, maybe. Have you ever been so miserable that you just want people to be miserable around you, too?
I'm so miserable.
Like the instance of Mrs. Snodbottom.
Yeah, well, that the other day. But, Kendall, instead of answering your question, what I'd like to do is redirect.
Okay. Redirect.
Redirect. Kendall, for those who are upset and miserable, like me the other day, and Mr. Snodbottom, remember I was comforted by his misery, and you and whatever story about your misery you've already shared, Kendall, I want you to believe in yourself. Number one, stop, drop, and roll, and believe in yourself.
But that's so hard.
No, Kendall, if you don't believe in yourself, nobody else will either. Kendall, oh my God, your lack of self-esteem will just permeate into everything else you do. Those who believe in themselves carry a certain charisma, like we do. Yeah, that's us. And, you know, and it makes other people want to be around you and listen to your show. Do it.
Do what?
Believe in yourself.
I don't believe in myself. Now, I believe in myself, but I've believed for over 250 episodes.
Well over 200. Kendall, we have almost 300 shows.
Oh, I know. I said well over 250 episodes.
Well, that is well over. Not to split hairs.
I've only got a few hairs to split.
Hairs left to split. Kendall, number two.
Number two.
You know, you got to go number two, everybody.
Yeah.
What I want you to do is reduce your tendency to compare. There will always be someone smarter, Kendall. Someone wealthier, in our case.
No! No one!
In our case, there will always be that 99% that are skinnier than us. We are the 1%, in this case, of obese people. Kendall and I make up the 1%. That's why skinny people come and occupy us every day. They stand around. Like vultures.
Occupy Fat Street. That's the street we live on.
Occupy Fat Street.
Ding.
Ding-a-ling, Kendall, and that's no joke.
Oh, Cliff, it's no joke. Of course it's no joke.
This of course it's no joke. Are you kidding me?
All right, Cliff, tell me a joke.
Oh,
please,
Kendall.
For the love of God.
Speaking of jokes, Kendall, there was, guess who, a nun.
Elvis. Oh, a nun.
A nun, and bless her, she was not flying. This one was not a flying nun. She was a walking nun.
A walking nun? Oh, God, did she do that, Cliff?
She did that. No, she didn't.
She was a belting nun.
She said, oh, Father, forgive me. I know not what to do. Oh, whoa. It was a damp, wet belch, everybody. Kendall, this belching nun walking down the hallway there in the convent, when who but one of the priests noticed she was gaining a little weight.
Father Tim,
he says, oh, gaining a little weight, are we, Sister Mary?
And then I said,
and she says, no, Father, it's just a little gas. Ooh. Just a little gas poo. Woo, Sister Mary said. And a month or so later, the priest, he noticed she gained even more weight. Gaining some weight, are we, Sister Mary?
What
he asked again. I know. Is there no Catholic Church? Okay, and she says, no, it's just gas. And a couple of months later, Kendall, guess who but the priest, he noticed Sister Mary.
Oh, my.
Pushing a baby carriage around the convent. Ooh. Oh, Shyamalan-esque twist.
What a blessed event.
And he leans over and looks in the carriage and he says, oh, what a cute little fart.
Oh, what a little fart he is.
Whoa.
Cliff, there was a Martian couple. And
there was a Martian couple.
They were with this Earthling couple. They had met, and they were talking about all kinds of things. And finally, Cliff, don't you know, the subject of sex comes up.
Oh, baby.
You know. You know sex is going to come up all the time. And so the Earthling said, just how do you guys do it?
How do you do it?
And the Martian said, well, pretty much the way you do. And a discussion ensues, and finally the couple decides to swap partners that night. And to...
as a premature buttonulation. Sorry.
Cliff, a discussion ensues, and finally the couple decide to swap partners. It's a wife swap of Martian proportions.
Oh, Martian proportions. I'm sorry I interrupted a joke in the middle a discussion.
So they're having this experience. It's one night experience with each other.
Oh.
So the female Earthling and the male Martian go off to a bedroom where the Martian strips. He's got only a teeny-weeny member, Cliff. Very short, very narrow.
He's got an itsy-bitsy teeny-weeny
very shallow, short, and very Martian narrow weenie. Weenie. And she said, what can you do with that? And he said, well, what's the matter? And she says, it's not nearly long enough. It'll never reach. And he said, well, no problem. So he begins to slap his forehead, Cliff, with his palm.
Oh, my God.
And with each slap, his forehead, his member grew until it was quite impressively long.
Oh, whoa.
And she said, well, that's quite impressive, but that's still pretty narrow. And he said, well, no problem. So he started pulling on his ears.
Oh, my God.
And with each time he pulled, it got wider and wider. Oh, well, Cliff, they had a very long boring session. And the next morning, they all meet back up.
Yeah.
And they swap back, and the Martian man, he says, oh, it was amazing. And the Martian woman said, oh, yes, it was great. And the Americans. The human man.
Yeah.
He says, well, how was
sex with the Martian last night?
The Earthling male said, well, was it any good?
Mm-hmm.
And she said, well, you know, I hate to say it, but it was really wonderful. How about you?
Mm.
And he says, well, it was the weirdest thing. She kept slapping me on the forehead and pulling my ears all night long.
I don't want to put you on the spot. Don't want to interrogate you.
I'm going to have to tell Charles to move the soundboard back in my direction.
Charles, well, what he did was finally, after about 17 months of a petition, Charles moved some of our furniture around in here to vacuum. And when he moved it back, things are a little bit different. So I'm able to do this.
Which is not good for us all.
It's... Kendall, shut up. All right. Whoa, Kendall. What's worse than finding a Justin Bieber CD in your boyfriend's bedroom?
Finding it in your bedroom?
Oh, finding a box of tissues next to it.
Oh.
I guess he's crying.
Got Bieber creamer fever.
Bieber creamer. Okay, that's what I put in my coffee every morning. Whoa, Kendall, how do you prevent a summer cold?
I don't know, Cliff, how do you prevent a summer cold?
Catch it in the winter, moron.
Idiot, of course.
Kendall, what did the beloved pig say at the beach on a hot summer's day?
What the hell did he say?
I'm bacon.
I'm bacon. Not fried. You think maybe I can get another joke out here?
I believe in you, Kendall. I believe you can do anything that you put your mind to.
So, Cliff.
Yeah.
It was a crowded city, a bus stop, and a beautiful young woman who was waiting for a bus was wearing a tight miniskirt. And as the bus stopped, it was her turn to get on. She became aware her skirt was way too tight to allow her leg to come up to the height of the first step on the bus. So she zipped down the zipper on the back of her. She reached around and zipped down that zipper a little bit on the back of her skirt.
Uh-oh.
I'm turning it down, Cliff. I'm turning it down.
That's what the listeners are saying. I'm turning this shit down.
She still couldn't get up on the step, so she zipped it down a little bit more.
Oh, baby.
Still couldn't get up on the step, well, she zipped down a little bit more. And right after that, this Texan just lifted her up and picked her up and put her right on the top step.
Woo!
And she said, why did you do that to me for? Why did you touch me? And he said, well, you've already turned around and unzipped my fly 3 times so far.
Oh, my God.
Our listeners were so distracted by all those noises.
Kendall, that is what Mrs. Putter Butter Butterchurn is feeling every night when she's at home with Mr. Snodbottom alone. He makes a lot of noises, everybody.
he's mad.
It's irritable bowel syndrome. It's nothing to be ashamed of. It's 2013. Come out of the bowel closet.
Come out of the bowel closet.
Kendall, do you know how many people have said that to Kendall? Come out, Kendall.
Just the bowel closet?
Come out. No, not that one. There was, guess who, a boy, and he asked his father to use the car, and the father replies, no, not until you cut your damn hair. And the boy, he replies, but father, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ also had long hair. Yeah, that old excuse. And his father replies, yeah, but Jesus walked everywhere. Kendall, speaking of
such good help, Jesus was.
Familial conversations, one cannibal says to the other, cannibal says, I can't stand my mother-in-law. And the other cannibal, he just says, well, why don't you just eat the vegetable?
Oh. Cliff, a blonde is walking down the street.
Oh, baby.
With her blouse open.
Oh, mama.
And a cop is approaching from about a block away. He's thinking, boy, my eyes must be going. It looks like this woman's right breast is just hanging out of the top of her top.
Oh, baby.
Well, as he gets closer, it's apparent that her breast is hanging out.
Oh, mama.
And when he gets face to face with her, he says, ma'am, are you aware I could cite you for indecent exposure? And she says, why, officer? He says, well, your breast is hanging out of your shirt. And she looks down and she says, oh, my God, I left the baby on the bus.
Oh, shit. Oh, shit, Kendall. Speaking of shit, I have to go take one real quick.
All right, well, we'll be right back after this very soon.
We'll be right back.
Don't go anywhere. Cliff and Kendall are just getting started.
Come alive, come alive. You're in the Pepsi generation. Come alive, come alive. You're in the Pepsi generation. Drink light, drink great, drink right, up to date. Young taste, young dry, young pace, come alive. Come alive, come alive. You're in the Pepsi generation. You're in the Pepsi generation.
Welcome back to the show. I hope you're ready for fat people.
Cliff, we're back. Whoa. We are back.
Kendall, we're back. Our listeners are saying hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. They're saying hallelujah all the day. Because we're back, Kendall. Speaking of
bags.
Kendall, speaking of backs and those wonderful things on the fronts, and misery. When I think of misery, mostly what I think about is Game of Thrones and how I'm still in shock. Weeks, months later, from
years.
These traumatic deaths. And you don't watch it, but some listeners may. And if they don't, I won't give any spoilers or bore you with details. But
here's
what it's like. It'd be like if you're listening to our show and suddenly someone shoots an arrow Austin and Becky right in the face. Kills them immediately. And they're bleeding out. And then in the middle of an etiquette tip just comes in and cuts Mrs. Potter Butterburn's throat. And it's just blood spewing. Flashing right into the microphone, and listeners and Cliff and Kendall and Mr. Strong, I'm stuck and horrified by what's happened, and that's the way life has been. But anyway, our hope on alarm with sound, Kendall, of course, but that's what I think of when I think of misery.
We don't have the budget for alarms.
We don't have a budget. It's not in the budget. It's not in the budge.
My thought of misery is a lot shorter. I just think of my wake.
Oh, God, my wake, Kendall.
Way too fast.
Kendall, when I'm trying not to think of my weight.
I didn't mean, that was your trigger word, I guess.
You really boned me out there, Kendall. Let's just go back and pretend you never said that.
Okay, good.
Kendall, when I'm talking about that, I'm talking about don't quote me.
Oh, please don't quote me. You know how bad my quotes are sometimes.
All right, Kendall, we're counting our segments down. This is one of the really great segments that our listeners just love.
Oh, they love it. And they love it so much.
They love it. Kendall, I think it comes in, I don't know, number 14 or 15 of our segments. We're working our way down to number one. It's called Don't Quote Me, where
we share. Don't Quote Me, the show that proves we can make a game show out of anything, bro.
Anything. The segment that proves that we can't get enough quotes, no matter how many quotes we shove in your face every fun week. Anyway, it's a famous quote. Do you know who said it, Kendall? I'm talking this. Always forgive your enemies. Nothing annoys them so much.
What was that? Oscar Wilde.
He was one of the original wild and crazy guys.
I know that because that was my third question for you.
Kendall, always double your quotes. Nothing annoys your co-host so much.
But we are what we repeatedly do.
Yeah.
Excellence, then, is not an act, but a habit.
It's not an act. It's not our show either. Kendall, who I want to say that was, not an act, but a habit. That sounds like Charles Carroll.
Well, if you're wrong, that was Aristotle. I don't know why I wanted to maim there. You're wrong.
We're baking pecan pies again, maim. Kendall, don't get me started. Sometimes I worry about being a success in a mediocre world.
Where was that? You?
That was Kendall. We can't even say no one. This was someone who is a success. This was Lily Tomlin.
Oh, I love her.
Maybe it says more about us that we're unsuccessful in a mediocre world.
We're the most unsuccessful there comes.
Exactly. So what?
Cliff. Uh-huh. Even if you're on the right track, you'll get run over if you just sit there.
Oh, Kendall, was that the one? The only. Kendall, that was that guy. He was like a cowboy. It was Will Rogers.
Oh, Cliff, good, very good. I thought you were saying Woody from Toy Story.
That was Woody from Toy Story. That was one of the things that he would say when Andy pulled his string. He would say, oh, there's a snake in my boots. Or, even if you're on the right track, if you run over, if you just sit there. Yeah. All right. Never be a... I don't know what happened.
Mr. Nuffbottom hit some sort of button. He was mad about that one. That was over the top.
I'm sorry. Frankly, I didn't think you would be awake at this point in the show. Right. Okay. Never be afraid to laugh at yourself. After all, you could be missing out on the joke of the century.
Okay, Cliff.
Okay, Kendall.
And always forgive your enemies.
Kendall, let me remind you. We're not at the end of the show. We are playing Don't Quote Me. So, who said that quote? Remember, there's not any bad, sad music going on.
I know there's not. I was being funny reading the quote that you already told. Because that was the last one I had, remember?
No! You didn't! No!
What? What is going on?
Wait, what?
What is going on?
I got some hard pushing on you. I'm in the middle of the show.
Charles, what are you doing?
Sorry, I'm going to tell you. I was working on the air ducts earlier in the day, and I dropped my thermos out of a thermos full of grape Kool-Aid, and I dropped it and smashed right in the middle of a gas pipe. There's been a gas leak this entire show. I just want to tell you, that's not like an exploding gas. It's just like a poisonous brain-killing gas. So, I don't know what you want to do. I just want to let you know as an ethical moral.
Okay.
Should we stay?
Should we stay or should we go?
Oh, hey, man, I'll present to you. I leave your life. I got to go. I got a date with this woman.
All right. Okay. Oh, and he's gone. I've never seen him move that fast. Never in my life.
He had a date?
He's got a date with a woman behind something. He went into one of those things, and frankly, I was overwhelmed by a funk that accompanies a person who's been in the air ducts all day long. Kendall, I don't know what's going on. I don't know where we are. I don't know what point in the show this is. But
we were playing a little game show called Don't Quote Me.
Don't quote me about this, Kendall.
And I'm no longer quoting you, for God's sake.
No. Oh, my God, Kendall. No, didn't I give you a quote? You never told me the answer to it. Am I correct?
I don't remember that.
I said never.
Something crazy has happened.
Never be afraid to laugh at yourself. After all, you could be missing out on the joke of the century.
I have no idea who said that, Cliff. Oh, Cliff, that it was. I don't know. I just don't know.
It's all coming back to you now. Kendall, that was who but one of our heroes, Dame Edna Everidge.
Oh, Dame Edna.
Love her.
Wonderful. Cliff wasn't that. Wonderful. And I'm no longer quoting you anymore.
I'm no longer quoting you, Kendall.
Oh, Cliff. Yeah. I got a question for you.
I got a question for you.
What is it with Kendall?
What is it with Kendall?
No, what is
I read
it?
A letter and it was a tweet with somebody Kendall. Tweeted us and it was, that was what it was. I said, what is it with Kendall? And so.
But he forgot the comma.
Comma,
chameleon, Cliff.
You come and go.
I gotta run out of the studio to get something really quick.
Okay. Love, soft as an easy chair.
Alright, Cliff, I'm back!
Love. Fresh as the morning air. Yeah. Kendall, listeners, we're just getting into my perfect pitch.
But the writers left my... the writers left my what is it questions in the other room, so I had to run and grab.
What is it? It's fresh as the morning air. Yeah.
All right, Cliff, let's play it. Let's play it. What is it?
Let's play this bitch.
Cliff, in Japan and Indonesia, it has its own god.
It has its own god. Kendall's giving me a clue. I'm going to see if I can decipher what it is in as few clues as possible.
Few clues.
The internet.
No.
Oh.
Cliff, it can grow from 3.5 feet to 6 feet tall.
3.5 to 6 feet tall. I'm talking sugar cane.
No, Cliff, more than 1 billion people throughout the world are involved in growing it.
In growing it, Kendall, this is Mary Jane.
No, Cliff, it is cultivated in over 100 countries and on every continent except Antarctica.
I'm talking corn.
No, Cliff, I can't believe I finally got one that takes a few questions for you.
Oh my god.
It comes in more than 100,000 varieties.
I'm talking coffee.
It provided more than 1/5 of the calories consumed worldwide.
I'm talking rice.
Yes, Cliff, rice.
Rice-a-roni.
San Francisco treat.
Oh, rice to meet you, Kendall.
Cliff, it... Okay, you want to play another one?
Mm-hmm.
Cliff, its original title was First Impressions.
First Impressions.
That's what I said.
I'm talking Perfect Strangers.
No. Cliff, it was written between 1796 and 1797 and published in 1813.
Yeah. First Impressions. This, of course, was Uncle Tom's Cabin.
This, of course, was not Uncle Tom's Cabin. So the major theme in much of this author's work is the importance of environment and young people's characters and morality.
Young people, Secret Garden.
No. Cliff, it opens with the line, "It is a truth universally acknowledged that a single man in possession of a good fortune must be in want of a wife."
Good fortune, want of a wife. Nicholas Nickleby.
No. The author's name was never attached to any of her other published novels during her lifetime.
This, of course, was Jane Austen, who wrote Emma.
No, it was made into a movie in 2005.
starring Keira Knightley and Matthew McFadden.
Pride and Prejudice.
Yes, Cliff. Pride and Prejudice.
Oh, I'm sorry to all the big Jane Austen fans out there that it took me that long.
Do you want to play another one? Or are we out of time?
I think Mr. Snodbone is saying no. Is what suckers waiting at home has got to get to it. Come in. I like doing that too. All right. Sorry, everybody who loves that. Will that segment gain a cult following like Songs You Should Know? Will it?
I think it will.
Will it? It's a question I ask when I ask, what is it with Kendall?
Oh, what is it?
With Kendall. What is it with that guy?
Well, Cliff?
Is it his fatness?
Cliff, I think that we may have brought some people out of their misery tonight.
I hope so. Kendall, my fervent hope in every day is I can bring someone a little bit out of misery.
Because if we haven't, that would be just too sad.
It would be so sad.
Yeah, that's very sad, Cliff. If our listeners want to know more about how to get out of misery,
sure.
Listen to more of our show, of course. Go to cliffandkendall.blogspot.com, facebook.com/cliffandkendall, twitter.com/cliffandkendall. You can email us at cliffandkendall@yahoo.com or give us a call at fatline at 818-3084-FAT.
Of course you can. Just call us. Tell us what's up. If you want to leave a grocery list, we'll play it on the show later, and you can just download the show from iTunes, and then you'll have it when you go to the grocery store.
And it'll just subconsciously get in your brain, too.
Yeah. Kendall, optimism is the madness of insisting that all is well when we are miserable. And that was said by who? Who would dare but Voltaire?
Who would dare but Voltaire?
Okay. Who would dare but Voltaire?
Cliff, if misery loves company, misery has company enough. And that was Henry David Thoreau.
Henry David Thoreau.
Henry David Thoreau.
Kendall, I like living. I have sometimes been wildly, despairingly, acutely miserable, racked with sorrow, but through it all, I still know quite certainly that just to be alive is a grand thing.
Grand.
And that was said by who? But Agatha Christie.
Agatha Christie.
Agatha Christie.
Cliff, we all want to help one another.
Yeah.
Human beings are like that. We want to live by each other's happiness, not by each other's misery. And that was Charlie Chaplin.
I love it. Kendall, smile, though your heart is breaking. Kendall, they say it's better to be poor and happy than rich and miserable.
Oh, thank God.
But how about a compromise like moderately rich and just moody? And that was said by who? Who but England's Rose? Princess Diana.
Oh, Princess Diana.
Princess Diana. Yeah, we love you. We love you,
England's Rose. We love you, England's Rose.
You are ever in our hearts. Goodbye from Cliff and Kendall Show. Take me down the country roads. I'm Cliff.
And I'm Kendall. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Oh, of course we will.
Thanks for listening to today's show. That's 30 minutes to an hour, mostly well spent.